Why does diversity seem to be an ever-present issue in Boston? Well, some are hoping that a way to get people talking about that is today's release of what's being called the GK 100, Boston's 100 Most Influential People of Color. The list is designed to show how people of color are shaping the city. It's also being used to demonstrate that despite Boston's reputation, the city is full of people of color in positions of power. They just might need a little more attention. This list is the brainchild of Colette Phillips, president and CEO of Colette Phillips Communications.
My belief is that we don't have to wait for others to validate us. We have the capacity to celebrate, document, and validate the plethora of individuals of color who are making contributions to the economic and social fabric of Boston.
For purposes of disclosure, we should say two of our colleagues here at WBUR made this list as well, as did Keith Motley, Chancellor of the University of Massachusetts Boston, and he joins us on the line. Welcome, Keith.
I'm so glad to be with you this afternoon.
Well, thanks for being with us, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Well, were you surprised to be included on a list with folks such as Boston School Superintendent Tommy Chang and Emerson College President Lee Pelton? We've got U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz. We've got incoming Wellesley College President Dr. Paula Johnson. It's quite a list.
Well, I'm just honored to be on that list. And first of all, kudos to Colette Phillips and all of the hard work of putting together a list like Get Connected 100. And, of course, it's a wonderful honor to be on that list. But to be with colleagues who I've admired some of their work and have known for a long time just how much they're contributing to this great city and to the Commonwealth and beyond, just magnificent individuals doing great things in so many different fields, not limited to some notion of what may have been some of the public's perception of where many of those individuals were sort of doing their great work. You know, we're contributing in so many wonderful fields, and I think a list like this brings that to the forefront of some of the thinking here in Boston.
You know, you're chancellor of UMass Boston. What was, I mean, there may be folks, maybe they're not as noticed as some might like them to be, people of color who are in influential positions, yourself among them. But what was your experience like getting to a leadership spot in Boston? And do you think it's different or perhaps more difficult than in other urban areas?
Well, I think that, you know, when I came to Boston, I came here in the 70s and I came from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And by the time I ended up going home in the summer after studying here, I would receive standing ovations because the public notion of Boston throughout the country wasn't such a wonderful thing. But then I would continue to come home and I would continue to be all in one piece. But people would also would notice the growth. And that growth happened as a result of all the wonderful mentors I had along the way who sort of modeled for me leadership or exposed me to leadership opportunities. You know, I came here as a student who also happened to be an athlete, but also happened to be from a family that was very active in all kinds of community endeavors. And so I had the wonderful opportunity to learn under some great mentors here that included people from all different kinds of backgrounds, including some of the great African-American leaders, whether it was the Snowden family at the Freedom House or the Ellen Jacksons or the John O'Briens of the time, or whether it was college presidents that I had the chance to learn under, who I sort of describe as bridge leaders who bridged my journey from the community that I grew up into their community, which might have been something that was culturally different, like the Ken Ryders and the Jack Currys and others who were presidents that modeled that for me. But they also put in front of me great presidents like Dr. Benjamin Mays from Morehouse. So it gave me a chance to see that I could do that too. They would tell me those things, and as a youngster, they would say to me, "Hey, Keith, you know, one day, you know, all this protesting and stuff you're doing to us, one day someone may be walking in your office when you're president and they're going to do it to you. And I would say, yeah, that's just some adult stuff they're trying to pull on me as a youngster. And all these years later, I see what they were doing was also preparing me for the opportunity to serve. And so I'm so grateful to all of them. And, the journey wasn't one that was it was one that was filled with opportunity. It was one that I've been able to see some of the ebb and flow of what it means to be in a city that's in transition like Boston was from that time to this time. But I'm so honored to be in a place where we're continuing to grow as a community, and a list like this is an example of that growth.
Hmm. Well, if there are so many influential people of color in the city, and if opportunity is opening up, why do you think this image of Boston as the parochial city just doesn't budge then?
Because it's easy when you are somewhere else and you haven't visited that place and haven't had a chance to sort of sample it for yourself, to continue to perpetuate some of what the images are that have lived on in history. There are some great images from those times that still persist. And some of our mental models, are very nostalgic. There's still lots of change that has to happen in this city. But I can sit here today and say that, when I look and I see that my son is living on I Street in South Boston, a place that I couldn't even go when I left my stuff in the all my belongings in the residence hall over the summer, and then they put it into storage to pick it up years ago. And I walk over there, and he's walking around on the beach as if there's nothing wrong with that. It's a pretty different kind of experience for today's youth in their development.
What's the main thing, though, that still needs to change, in your opinion?
Well, I think our exposure to each other. Still in cities like this, there are, places where we are sort of isolated from each other. It sort of reminds me of how some campuses used to be, where you may have those who were in different disciplines who never were able to go and get together. So this notion of interdisciplinary study on a campus in the notion of cross-cultural integration of thought and experiences is something that is a wonderful thing. I get to experience it every day on our campus where we're the most diverse university there is probably in New England. And so when I look around and I see 62% of our students who are students of color, and I walk into these places that all these employers are looking for in mathematics and sciences and see 44% of them studying that happen to be women, and 50-something percent of them studying that happen to be students of color. It's an amazing thing. And they can learn from each other. They can have differences and get through those differences and sort of grow together. That's the kind of thing that this city, is preparing itself to continue to do. Young people are doing it in larger numbers than anyone else in this city. There's 250,000 opportunities to learn from each other that sort of come into this city every fall. And so it's on us to really prepare opportunities for them and also give them exposure opportunities that allow for them to see that it's possible. That's what I didn't realize at the time, that these men and women were showing me that it was possible to lead at levels that even I hadn't even thought about doing here in Boston. And now today I sit here proud to serve this community in such a wonderful leadership role. But then to look around and see that there are others who have sort of moved through and are leading in varied areas. So it's important for that to be noted in this city.
All right. Keith Motley, Chancellor of the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Chancellor, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Stay with us. Coming up, the story of a Massachusetts man tried with murder as a teenager and now released on parole. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.